All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome into the 2024 Daily Faceoff Live Trade Deadline Special, year three of doing this bad boy, and we are excited to be going live, not right up until the deadline. As you can see with the big clock behind me, we will go until the trades stop coming in. I'm your host, Tyler Yaremchuk, and today's show is brought to you by DoorDash. Dash that for the win. And if you're a Canadian listener, you can get yourself 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more with the promo code NATION25. Like I said, it is our third year of doing this. If it's your first time watching, let me tell you a little bit about how things roll. I'm going to be your host for the next 4+ hours. We got a great panel coming up, and I'll introduce you to them in a couple of minutes with former NHLers Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton. Matt Larkin and Stephen Ellis will be around throughout the day to grade trades, and Ellis will be telling us about prospects. Oh, but I may have buried the lead a little bit. The star of the show is our insider, Frank Saravalli. And if you haven't noticed, he is up in the corner in his insider cam. Frank, I'm going to bring you down. You are on the screen just as long as I am, the whole show, and the people get to watch you up in the corner in our Wendy's, a Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool insider cam. They get to see you on what is your Super Bowl, Frank, your busiest day of the year.
Yeah, I mean, much to their chagrin, I got to always be on the screen, but you'll see me work and you'll see what I'm up to. And I can give you a brief peek into the storylines that I'm following and chasing today. We just saw the Washington Capitals make a significant trade in moving Evgeny Kuznetsov, a huge piece of their run to the Stanley Cup back in 2018, already 6 years ago. He goes to the Carolina Hurricanes, the only trade so far that we have on deadline day, in exchange for a third round pick. They retain half. This was the better move for them from a cap perspective, even though Kuznetsov has 1 year left on his deal and they'll have a $3.9 million cap hit next year for him. The alternative was to buy him out this summer. That's certainly where it was trending if they did not get a taker right now. And that would have had them with a $3.8 million hit next year, plus another year after that. So certainly the more palatable move, and you love what the Carolina Hurricanes are doing, bringing in Jake Guentzel on Thursday night. They did not trade away a hard first-round pick. They did not trade any of their top six prospects, in my estimation. And they're able to bring in a finisher that team, I think, has desperately needed. So Guentzel and Kuznetsov in the fold for Carolina. They're going to continue to explore market inefficiencies. What about Washington? Well, they still have two guys, on our top 50 trade targets board that are inside the top 10. They've got Nick Dowd, a center who has 1 year left on his deal. They've also got Max Pacioretty, who comes in at number three. He has, given the Washington Capitals some instructions on what he wants today to happen. What he wants to happen today, given that he has the full no move clause. And so I believe two of the teams on that list, the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers. What could the Rangers get up to after missing out on Gensel? They are certainly in the winger market, and this is a good year to be in that, because you look at our trade targets board and it is full of wingers inside that top 10. What else we're looking at? The Seattle Kraken. Will they or won't they re-sign Jordan Eberle? Get a deal done today. You can keep him for the next couple years, or if the contract extension does not materialize, I'm told that the Kraken will be moving on from Jordan Eberle today. Continuing to keep an eye on the New Jersey Devils and the number one trade target in Tyler Toffoli, but they've also got two pending unrestricted free agent defensemen in Brendan Smith and Colin Miller that they are listening on. We're looking at the goalie market in relation to the Devils. A lot of people thinking that they're going to take one more swing on Jacob Markstrom. I'm not sold that's the case, but Tom Fitzgerald has been perusing the goalie market. He's been making calls on just about every goalie out there, and that includes guys that are under contract. Linus Ullmark, Tristan Jarry. Who else is on Tom Fitzgerald's list? Can he pry someone loose that can help the Devils contend for a playoff spot, not just this year, but also in the future? Someone that has certainly some term on his deal. The Ottawa Senators, will they make a splash? Jacob Chychrun, his name has been in the mix. And finally, we're continuing to look at some teams that have already made trades. The Colorado Avalanche, they retain their 2024 first round pick. Vegas Golden Knights have 2024 and 25. So there's lots still left to be determined in the West, including the Winnipeg Jets, who I expect to be in that winger market today, Tyler.
Oh, sorry. I thought maybe you were just going to go for the full 4 hours. I was totally zoned out there, Frank, but you're
full. No, that's good. I'm good for a while now, so.
You're full of information, and the best part about the Insider Cam is Frank is just a little unmute button away from giving you, the listener, all the up-to-date news and information as it happens, more or less in real time. So we will send Frank back up to the Wendy's Insider Cam, and I will introduce you to our main panel for the day, a couple of former NHLers, one a goalie, one a defenseman. It's Carter Hutton and Colby Cohn. If you watch Daily Faceoff Live or Morning Cup of Hockey, you know these two. Colby, deadline day, you fire it up. Are you excited to debate who's going where for a second round pick?
I love it. This gives us something to talk about. There's excitement around a ton of different fan bases. We see the Carolina Hurricanes seem to be pushing their chips to the middle, something they've been widely criticized for over the last number of years. They've got the D-core. Freddie Anderson is back. So I think it's good to see what's going on right now, Tyler, around the NHL.
Carter, I would love to chat with you, buddy, but we got a little bit of news already right off the jump. Frank, what do you have?
One of those topics I was just talking about, the Seattle Kraken and Jordan Eberle. Will he sign an extension? The answer is yes. And in fact, the scoop came from our friends at Cap Friendly. Glad to be partnering up with them again. They got this Jordan Eberle contract extension, 2 years times $4.75 million. So I think what these two sides had been going back and forth over was term. The Kraken had originally put on the table 2 times 4.5. He's able to squeeze out an extra $500,000. And as I had been reporting the last couple of weeks, Jordan Eberle's preference was to remain with the Seattle Kraken. He puts his signature on the dotted line to prove that. And a team like the Edmonton Oilers today, who are keeping close tabs on that, disappointed, not a top six addition coming their way, as they were kind of holding out hope that he would still be there in the final hours leading up to the deadline.
So you don't think there's a pivot play for the Oilers here? It was just kind of Eberle or nothing?
I'd be surprised. I think they're going to continue to look at the market, but I think for the most part, the Oilers view themselves as being done. They've gotten most of their shopping completed already.
Final note on Eberle from our friends at Cap Friendly. Like you said, the deal comes with a full no trade clause. So Eberle commits to staying in Seattle and gets a little bit of trade protection as well. Thank you, Frank. Back to our main panel. Carter, what do you make of the Eberle extension? The Kraken, who are on the outside looking in for the playoff picture in the West, opting to keep a older veteran in Eberle instead of maybe cashing in for some future assets.
You know, I like this. He's a guy that came to Seattle in the start. And for me, you know, he's at 998 games. And I know they're early in their franchise history here, but for him to get to 1,000 games with the Seattle Kraken, I think is a big milestone for this organization and for this team. You know, the reemergence of Philip Grubauer, he's been playing great as of late, and everyone knows how well Joey Decord, you know, has played. So I think this is a good signing for depth. You know, it's showing that they're committed to try to make this. And I think as a player standpoint, if I'm on the Seattle Kraken, this sends a message to your team that we haven't given up on you and we want you to, you know, make a push here for the playoffs.
Colby, what do you make? Jordan Eberle, 2 years by 4.75. Cap space not really an issue for Seattle. It's just about, I honestly think, keeping a good quality veteran around that team right now.
Yeah, I think it sends a message. And I think when you are in this territory that Seattle is in, where they had the run last year, their first year, they were what you'd expect out of a, you know, an expansion team. I think it shows people that you are committed to staying competitive and not just selling off at the first opportunity. I think this is a very manageable cap hit. The cap is going to go up next year as he moves into this extension. So it looks even better next year when the cap rises by another couple of million because it drops the percentage that it counts against their cap. So again, I think he would have looked great in an Edmonton Oilers jersey. I really do. I think he would have bolstered that team incredibly well. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't always have the approach that the grass is going to be greener with new players. And I think that's the way that Ron Francis and his staff out in Seattle looked at this Jordan Eberle signing.
Yeah, obviously a lot of Oilers fans in our chat right now. A lot of disappointment there, Frank, saying it sounds like they're done. We're going to move along in just a second. But Carter, I didn't get a chance to properly introduce you. You played in the NHL for a number of years, but it's your first deadline on the media side. How do the nerves for you, deadline day as a media member, compare to the nerves as a player?
Oh, there's still a little bit of nerves tied, just making sure I don't do anything too dumb on here. But honestly, just enjoying myself. It's nice to be on the other side now. I think my perspective has changed for sure. I think being from the game and being around the game, being around deadlines, seeing the effect it has on guys on, you know, whether you're a single guy, a younger guy, or you're a guy with a family. And for me, as I went on in my career, you know, having two kids and a wife, and it was a lot easier when I would just change cities and bring my clothes and my hockey gear. And then all of a sudden you start adding in a wife and kids and you see the effect it has on some of these older players versus younger players. So for me, it's different being on this side, but I enjoy this a lot, being around the game more. I think I have a different perspective now being on this side, but I really enjoy watching trade deadline and watching the playoffs with less anxiety about how I'm going to feel the next day if I have too many glasses of wine.
Yeah, that's fair. Colby, you're a little bit further removed from your playing career, but now that you're settled into your media life, do you love deadline day? Did you hate it as a player?
Well, you know what's interesting, Tyler? For me, most of my career is spent in the American Hockey League. And, you know, when you're in the Boston Bruins organization, like I was for the time that I was, you know, that's a team that was going for it just about every year that I was there. They were always bringing in veterans. They were always looking for those depth adds or star adds. You know, one year they brought in Thomas Cabberley. Like, they were always hunting for big fish, right? So I just can really remember the stress of sitting around the training room in Providence in the American League with all my teammates. And basically every time the training room phone rang, everybody looked around and everybody started chirping at each other. Where are you going? Because look, I was a second round draft pick. So I was considered a prospect until they figured out that I was more of a suspect than a prospect. But at the end of the day, we would all be sitting around. Everybody would be kind of laughing, but I think it would be the situation where your feet are moving a million miles a minute under the water, where above water, you have to kind of sit there and play cool. I'm sure you live some of those moments as well, Carter, but it's kind of a bonding slash nervousness situation in the room all day.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just to piggyback off that, I feel like for me, my best trade deadline memory was being on the road because then we were with the team. I remember distinctly one time being in the St. Paul Hotel in Minnesota. It was a year we were fluttering a bit in St. Louis. We weren't sure if we were going to go in or out and what Doug Armstrong was going to do. And I remember sitting there, we're having lunch, watching TV, and Paul Stastny got traded. And that's how we found out it broke. You know, one of our teammates, one of our veteran leaders, and like instantly, it was like an instant hangover. The fact that like we lost one of our leaders, we knew we weren't going for it. Almost Doug Armstrong sent that message to the team that, you know, we're not ready. We're not there and where we were at. So it was obviously tough. You know, all of us get together, you go see him before he ships off. It's like you're losing a mate, which it was nice doing that on the road where you got to see him, you got to be with him. Because there's other trade deadlines where when you're at home, everybody goes off to their own life. A guy gets traded, just gets plucked out of your world, and you might not see him again until you play that team if you're lucky enough to play him again. So there's definitely that aspect of it that I think maybe on the outside people don't see. And as a player, you know, Kobe, we lived it. It's something that's real, and it's part of the game, right? This is the cross you bear being a professional hockey player is trade deadline.
This is our main panel with Colby Cohn and Carter Hutton. We're going to continue breaking things down with you guys in a little bit, but I want to get to some of the other things we got going on today. Whenever a trade breaks, we will have, well, not just the news from Frank himself. We'll have Colby and Carter breaking it down. But we're going to be slapping trade grades on all of these with our guy, Matt Larkin. Matt Larkin joins me now, the managing editor and senior writer at Daily Faceoff. Larkin, you ready to get rolling here on deadline day?
Oh, I'm so ready, Tyler. I am jacked up on caffeine. I cannot wait to get to it, my friend.
I had a very large coffee. Didn't think that through. I don't know if our friends at Betano have odds on when my first piss break is going to be, but I would take the under on that. We got a big, big deal last night in the NHL. Jake Guentzel, number one on Frank Saravalli's trade targets board. He goes to the Carolina Hurricanes from the Pittsburgh Penguins. You see the haul that the Penguins got in return here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pieces going the other way. Slap a grade on this bad boy. What did you? How did you think Kyle Dubas did in this deal?
Kyle Dubas' side of the deal, it's a C+. I know the Penguins fans are up in arms over this, but you know there wasn't a ton of leverage in the situation based on the fact that there was no extension for Jake Guentzel baked into this trade. We now know, and that's going to bring down the acquisition cost for the Carolina Hurricanes. I think Pittsburgh did okay, but to not get either a rock-solid first-round pick or a top-five prospect, you couldn't have gotten Scott Morrow, or at least a definite first-round pick. I think one or the other, but you got the conditional second that could be a first if Carolina goes to the final. You've got a bushel of decent prospects, so I'm a little disappointed. C+ for Pittsburgh, but for Carolina, Tyler, this is an absolute A+. I've been pounding the table for years for Don Waddell to make a move like this because if you look in the playoffs, Carolina gets bounced by Boston, Tampa Bay, Florida. It's always the team that has more star power. This year, Sebastian Aho, the only Hurricane on pace for even 30 goals, even 70 points. They need that star power. Jake Guentzel, I love this stat. 6th in NHL history in playoff goals per game among players with 50 games or more. So finally, Carolina gets that piece. And then Kuznetsov, a nice little cherry on top. That's someone who had 34 points in 24 games during the 2018 run to the Stanley Cup for Washington. So you've got two guys with rings, proven playoff performers joining your top six. A+ for Carolina.
Yeah, that's a team just looking to get over that final hump. What do? You get a couple of big names. A+ on the Kuznetsov deal, according to Matt Larkin. Our trade grades are brought to you by Betano. Sports betting with fast withdrawals and cash out. Great odds for live betting. You get it all at betano.ca. Matt, let me just ask you, Frank Saravalli's top five right now. It's Toffoli, Riley Smith, Max Pacioretty, Jordan Eberle, who is now off the board. He's extended in Seattle, and Pavel Buchnevich of the four remaining. Which one are you most intrigued to see the situation play out with today?
I think Tyler Toffoli of that group, just for his goal-scoring ability, can be a difference maker, especially because there are some teams out there that specifically need help on the right wing. I'm looking at the New York Rangers. They've been struggling to replace that position, especially on that first line with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad. Now you have Alexis Lafreniere playing the right side. There's some nice chemistry there on the second line with Panarin and Trocheck. But with Blake Wheeler out for the year, it's been Jimmy Vesey, it's been Kaapo Kakko. It's not going to work. There needs to be an upgrade there. And can the Rangers afford to go big game hunting? I know they've been linked to a guy like Frank Petrano. Maybe aim higher, get a Stanley Cup winner, Tyler Toffoli with the blue shirts. That's an easy move for him as well across the Hudson River. I like that fit.
There you go, Matt. You're going to be stopping by, giving us trade grades as they continue to roll in. First one, not high on Dubas, but loving what Carolina's doing. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Tyler.
A big haul of prospects in that deal. And who better to talk about prospects than our boy, Stephen Ellis, our associate editor and prospect analyst at Daily Faceoff. Mr. Ellis, and actually we could flash up the board again with all the prospects because I don't remember those names. The one I'll say I'm the most high on, I believe it's Chaz or Cruz Lucius. That's just a cool name. That's the only reason I'm high on him. Should Penguins fans be high on the quality of players they got in this deal?
So
I wrote a story today on Daily Faceoff looking at the fact that, yes, their prospect pool is better today than it's been in a long time, but it's still in the lower end because they got three guys that I would say are outside of Carolina's top five in terms of their top prospects. You mentioned Cruz Lucius having a great year this year, and he's an interesting story because a couple years ago he had a wrist injury and basically had to relearn how to shoot in his draft year. So I think he got kind of underrated compared to a lot of guys in that draft class, but he's putting up really good numbers with Wisconsin. I'm really happy there. When it comes to Ville Koivunen, he's having an outstanding season. He's just under a point per game player in the Finnish league at 20 years old. That's impressive. You don't get a lot of guys like that. I think, you know, he's not the best two-way player, but in terms of what he's able to do offense, he's fifth in scoring, I believe, right now, so it's looking pretty good. And then Pen Morayoff is an interesting one where he's having a good year in the AHL. I think a lot of scouts I talked to thought that he was someone that could be a better pro than a better junior player. It just seems like his game just works for that. He's a complimentary player in my mind. I think he's kind of at best a second liner, maybe a third liner. But if the Penguins fans were looking for a guy that was actually going to make a really big long-term difference, they didn't get it in this trade.
And that's disappointing considering the quality of piece you moved out. And we obviously saw the quote from Sidney Crosby last night, which when you just look at the quote on a piece of paper, it's kind of like, damn, that's a jarring thing for Sid to be saying. Pittsburgh still has Riley Smith on the trade targets board. We'll see what ends up going on there. Let me just float you kind of my first hour question. I threw it Larkin's way as well of sort of the big names still available today. Who are you most intrigued to see where they land?
It's Max Pacioretty, just because I've always been such a fan of his game. You know, when he's healthy, he can score. And he's the type of guy that, yeah, you know, maybe kind of like Max Domi a couple of years ago, where you could kind of throw him in and maybe in a third line role and he could produce. So, you know, there's been a lot of rumors where he'll go. Obviously, with the Capitals already making some moves, I'd be interested to see if he ends up going to contender, because I still believe in his ability. You don't forget how to score even through all these injuries.
Steven Ellis, our prospect analyst. Appreciate you hopping on, man. We'll chat with you a few other times throughout the day.
Thanks so much.
It's not the only thing we're tasking Steven Ellis with today either. Of course, it's deadline day. A lot of the talk is about who's buying, who's trying to solidify and bolster their potential Stanley Cup rosters. But the flip side of it are the teams who are trying to get closer to the basement. And for those fan bases, it's all about what's coming up in June with the NHL draft. And who better than Steven Ellis to go and give us his top five draft prospects for 2024. It's brought to you by Fountain Tire. Beginning Monday, you can save up to 25% off on select tires until April 20th. Give yourself a little deadline day deal on some new tires. Make the shift to more savings. Visit fountaintire.com to find the nearest store. Let's take a peek at Ellis's top 2024 draft prospects.
Hey everybody, Steven Ellis here, the Associate Editor and Prospect Analyst for Daily Faceoff, and today we are going to look at the top 5 prospects for the 2024 NHL Draft. And it starts at number 1, Macklin Celebrini. Obviously everyone knows what he's able to do. He's not at Connor Bedard levels, but he's special. He's a guy that would be going first overall in many other years. I really love what he's able to do at both ends of the ice, and the numbers don't lie. Number 2, Ivan Demidov out of Russia, a guy that is just so dynamic, so talented, great with the puck. And he's a guy that has this hero complex, who when you need somebody to go out there and score, he could do it for you. There's some concerns about how lazy he could be at times, but from a skill perspective, I love it. Number 3, Anton Siliev, a defenseman. He's 6'7". Think Victor Hedman in terms of the play style here. He's putting up a lot of points. He actually has the U18 scoring record, not just among defensemen, but among all players in the KHL. He plays a lot of minutes. He hits hard. He skates well. Again, he does everything so well. That's another Victor Hedman style player. I like it. Number 4, Cole Yzerman of the U.S. National Development Team. You know, there's a lot of concerns about his play, specifically defensively. But if there's going to be one thing you're good at, it might as well be goals. This guy can shoot from anywhere, score from anywhere. He's drawing a lot of comparisons to Austin Matthews. I'd say he's a pretty good player there. So I like him at number 4. Number 5, to wrap it up, Artem Lovshunov out of Michigan State. He's a guy that could do a little bit of everything. He's got the size. He moves well. He's very smart with the puck. The offense is there. So someone who really could make a team's blue line so much better in the long term as a potential top pairing defenseman, I like it. And those are my top 5 prospects for the 2024 NHL Draft.
Shout out to our friends at Fountain Tire. Heading back to our main panel here with Carter Hutton and Colby Cohen. The top five, gentlemen. You heard me ask Larkin and Ellis this question. Toffoli, Smith, Pacioretty, and now Buchnevich with number four, Eberle, off the board and extended in Seattle. When you look at those situations, Colb, who are you looking at the most going, I want to see where that guy lands?
I actually am going to go with Steven Ellis and Max Pacioretty. I mean, he's a highly intriguing player to me, a guy that I played against a lot, especially throughout the young parts of both of our careers. And when he's healthy, he just brings that powerful sort of throwback power forward who can score. And you just don't see a ton of those guys around the league anymore. You combine that with his size. He's motivated to show the league that he can still play. And I got to tell you something. If I'm Chris Drury, this is a guy that I am going hard after right now, because Max can play just about anywhere in your lineup. He helps improve your power play, group one or group two. Obviously, the Rangers' top power play has been pretty good and doesn't need a ton of help. And I just think if Washington is willing to maybe eat some of the money on that contract, not that it's much. I think he's owed $2 million. But his contract has a bunch of performance bonuses that can get it up to four. I just think he would be a huge add for a team like the New York Rangers. I know Frank has some intriguing names left on that board. Guys like Toffoli, Riley Smith has one, so that you can't look the other way on. But Carter, I really think Max Pacioretty is a guy who could be a huge difference maker, especially in the East, where it seems like there's a major arms race happening amongst the top.
Yeah, I think one thing that stands out this year for me, no one has really solidified themselves as the Stanley Cup favorite, right? There's a lot of options in the East. And for me, it's Pavel Buchnevich. You know, this is a big player. He struggles going to the net necessarily, but he's great in the neutral zone. He can be a game breaker. And for me, with a year left on his deal, where St. Louis is kind of sputtering a bit, they've played well at times. You know, are they rebuilding? Where are they at? And I think he's a piece that could move out with a good draw. And you know, Doug Armstrong, I played for him, you know, I have a good relationship with him, but this guy is a killer. He knows, like, no matter what is said, you know, he can make trades happen. And I think at this point, this is a key piece that could add to somebody with a little bit of term left on his deal. Obviously, there'd be some footwork trying to make this deal happen for a lot of these teams that are closer to the cap. But for me, this is a game breaker player. He can come in, he can play good minutes. And for me, obviously, you touch on Riley Smith. The pedigree of winning is hard to come by, right? You see those playoff experience. And for me, there's certain teams that are, you know, are they getting in? Are they not? You look at the Metro, it's been pretty tight.
Carter, I got to cut you off, man. We got some breaking news from Frank over on the Wendy's Insider Cam. Frank, what do you got? Oh, unmute.
All right. We'll that's the first time. So that's a fine. The next one, I just begin flogging myself. The number one player on our trade targets board is now off the board. Tyler Toffoli is going from the New Jersey Devils to the Winnipeg Jets. Working on the return, I believe that the Montreal Canadiens second round pick in 2024 is going to be part of this deal. Reminder, because of where the Canadians are in the standings, that is going to be a pretty high second round pick. The details of this not confirmed just yet, but that is certainly well in the works. And we talked about Winnipeg right off the hop of the show about how they were deep in that winger market so far today. And look, they added Sean Monahan, and look at what they did last year with a couple second round picks, Nino Niederreiter and Vlad Nemestnikov. The Jets very much feel like this is a year to make hay, and God, that central division is going to be crazy. So you got Colorado, who's loaded up and changed things around. Dallas is sitting right there. I don't know who's going to be more upset with, you look at the top six teams in the West and at least two of them guaranteed to be losing in the first round. There's going to be some teams that are just heartbroken come April.
Yeah, and these teams are all loading up. Like, they pretty much all dealt a first-round pick. Now, Kevin Cheveldayoff, a manager who has been kind of notorious, infamous in that Winnipeg market, is sitting on his hands, never doing a ton. Now you look, you get Hellebuck and Shifley extended. You make two big splashes now at the deadline. Number one on our board is gone. Frank, we'll let you work on the return there, send you back up to the insider cam, and get to Carter and Colby. Gentlemen, instant reaction. Tyler Toffoli is going to be a Winnipeg Jet. He's been a Canuck, a Flame, a Hab, and now he can cross the Jets off that board as well. Colby, what do you make of the fit?
I think it's a great fit. And I think this was a big time move by Kevin Cheveldayoff. And you bring a guy to your lineup who can score. Okay. Like, he doesn't have to have an A+ game, and he could be sleepy for 50 minutes of a 60 minute hockey game, and he could walk out of there with a goal and an assist. This is a guy who knows how to get it done from the bottom of the circles to the net. I've always found his shot to be pretty deceptive. I know that's something Carter could probably lean into a little bit more than me, but the other thing that I love about this move with Toffoli is that, to me, it slots their lineup into place a little bit better. I think that's going to bump Iafallo out of the top six. I think that pushes Mason Appleton down to your fourth line to really solidify that. And now all of a sudden you've got more competition in the bottom six of that Winnipeg Jet lineup between Perfetti, between Barron. Niederreiter plays on the third line. I think he's probably pretty safe with Adam Lowry. I just think it creates a lot of balance in that lineup. That was already a good one. So I love the move. I like the fact that Winnipeg is pushing all in. We've heard the rumors about ticket sales and what could be going on there in Winnipeg. So it's a good thing to show your fan base that we are in it to win it, not to go with the cliche, Carter. But I love the move.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it sends a message to everybody involved in the Winnipeg Jets organization, their fan base, that they are in it to make a push at this, right? And this adds depth, pushes guys down that bottom six, and everybody knows how important that bottom six is going to be come playoff time. And for me, Tyler Toffoli is a guy, he's not a glamorous player by any means, but he has, like you touched on, the way he can release the puck, the way he finds space, and he's nifty for a goalie, right? He's a guy that can tip pucks, he can do whatever, he finds soft areas, and he knows where to go around the net. And for me, this Winnipeg Jets team, it's a dogfight in the Central, right? With Dallas, with Colorado, there's some tough teams there, but nobody wants to face this Winnipeg Jets team with Connor Hellebuck in net. He is a guy, and they have Laurent Brossoit. This is depth in goaltending. They have depth at every position here now, and I think this is a huge trade. And like I said, it's open right now. You're trying to beef up, and it's sending a message that it's an arms race in the West to try to get out of that conference, and I think this is a great move here. I love it for Winnipeg.
Tyler Toffoli, 88 career playoff games, a handful or a whole bunch, I should say, with the LA Kings, and then quick appearances with the Canucks, Habs, and Flames, and now getting another chance to play playoff hockey in Canada with the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, man.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And Colby, you kind of touched on it too. Like, you just look, Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Namestnikov, Ehlers, Monahan, Iafallo, Niederreiter, even a young guy like Perfetti, who's only going to get better. Now you add it to Foley into the mix here. And I think this Jets forward group is now right on par with, honestly, anyone else in that Central. I know Colorado's got the high-end star power, but what do they really have in terms of depth pieces? We know they've struggled to find replacements down the middle since guys like Kadri and Compher left in back-to-back off seasons. I put this Winnipeg team right up there with any other forward group in the Central.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Tyler. The only thing I don't agree with you on is the Colorado nod that you just gave, because I look what Colorado did yesterday. They added Duhaime and Trenin, and that really solidifies, to me, their bottom six of their lineup. I think that might be the only forward group that's maybe a little bit ahead of the Winnipeg Jets, because I think their star power is a little bit better, and I think their bottom six might be just a little bit better. I mean, look, we're splitting hairs with this, so I'm not saying you're completely wrong. I still think Colorado has the edge up front, but one thing that we have seen that I don't think we talk about enough when we talk about teams that win the Stanley Cup is there's generally a fourth line that becomes really well known. Okay, you can go back to the Bruins in 2011 with the Merlot line, and then all the way through the St. Louis Blues. That fourth line, that identity line, and I just think now when you have Morgan Barron and you have Mason Appleton, like, it just re-slots that forward group so well. And Carter, the pressure that you can put on another team by being able to roll four lines and possess the puck, I mean, it's hard to defend. It really is.
You know, and you think when they're matching up against a team like Colorado, they're going to have to do that, right? They're going to have to find a way to slow down the speed of the Colorado Avalanche, especially on the road, right? You guys know how tough it is. You watch Colorado play at home and it looks like the ice is tilted. And these are some big bodies that can take up space, right? Even think of Brandon Dillon on the back end. You know, these are big bodies that are going to make it hard on other players. And for me, I like the comparison with Colorado because that's pretty much who you're going against. Dallas is obviously deep as well. But for me, the goalie depth hurts again. I think Winnipeg has them there. And especially, you know, the playoff goes, I would like to see Colorado try to find a goalie today. I know Uninen has played well as of late, but do you trust him if Georgiev goes down? He's played a ton of minutes this year. McParland came out earlier in the year saying they're going to trade for a goalie. It hasn't happened. So for me, I think the Winnipeg Jets are slotted better for a deep run with the depth they have. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I love this trade for Winnipeg a lot. I know a lot of people in Thunder Bay are big Winnipeg fans. So this is going to hit home. Hopefully we have a long playoff run close to home for me.
Just looking at the Winnipeg Jets cap friendly page, projected cap space, $1.2 million to Foley. With his cap it retained down twice, they would probably be able to squeeze that one in. Looking at the picks the Jets have to potentially move in this deal as we await a return, they have a second rounder from Montreal this year, as well as their third and fourth rounders. And next year in 2025, they have all three, first, second, and third rounders. Same thing in 2026. So a handful of draft picks available here in this deal as we await the official return. But that top five, gentlemen, we have been on the air for 35 minutes. I'll look at the clock behind me. We still have a lot of time to go today. And already two of the top five of Frank Saravalli's trade targets board are off the list. So we're waiting for the return on Toffoli. While we do that, let's maybe run through, Aaron, some of the deals we've gotten now and do a quick little recap of what we've gotten so far through deadline season. Started a couple of days ago and the action really picked up around Tuesday, Wednesday. Chris Tanev was the first big splash. We talked about teams in the Central. Dallas has made their big move. They got Tanev from Calgary for Artem Grushnikov, a second and a third round pick. Interesting that they didn't have to give up a first in that deal. Guys, what did you make of this? Like Dallas, when you look at them getting Tanev, that blue line looks damn near perfect. Do you think they need to make another add anywhere?
You know, for me, I like this ad. I think it just adds stability on their back end. And for me, you talk about Jake Oettinger and net. I know I circle back to the goalies a lot, but you talk about playoff goalies and he has some good experience and I think he's grown as a goalie. And adding a guy like Chris Tanev for me just adds predictability to their decor. You know, when I think about certain teams and teams I've played for, you know, touching on St. Louis, the year before I was traded out of there, I led the league in save percentage and goals against. And not to toot my own horn, but some of the toughest nights for me was just driving to the rink because we had Bomeister, Petrangelo, Edmondson, these big defensemen that played really good. So for me, a guy like Tanev is a guy that makes a goalie's life easier. And when it comes to playoff time, the predictability with a goalie like Jake Oettinger, knowing what he's going to get every night is going to be a difference maker for Dallas, Colby. I know what it's like to play on the back end, and guys like Tanev are hard to come by.
Yeah, I was certainly not a goalie's best friend in my career, Carter. And I remember Craig Anderson actually said to me during my first NHL training camp, maybe after two or three scrimmages, he said, look, he's like, you know, you have an opportunity to make this team. We know you can make plays, but I'm just going to tell you from my point of view, I need to trust that when you have the puck anywhere in this zone, I need to trust you know what plays to make and you're not looking for those home runs all the time. I think that's magnified times a million come playoff time. We see the margin for error. It's razor thin. So that's why you go out and you get a guy like Tanev, because you just can put him out on the ice. He's low maintenance. He's had a large body of work in the NHL, and you never have to worry that he's going to go rogue to a point where a goaltender is going to have to wonder what is coming back down his throat. The only question that I have And this leads back to last year's playoffs, is a little bit about Ryan Suter. Okay. Obviously, he's had an incredible career, but I think he was exposed a little in the playoffs last year. I do. I think his foot speed caught up to him. I think we've got something, Tyler. Go ahead.
Yeah, I
got
to cut you off here. Let's get back to our Wendy's Insider Cam and Frank Saravalli. Frank, another deal or the Toffoli return? Let me know.
Yeah, another deal. Another player off the board. In this case, it is Pat Maroon, who was number 20 on our trade targets board today. He is going from the Minnesota Wild to the Boston Bruins. Mike Russo from The Athletic first to report. And for the Wild, this was all about placing Pat Maroon in a situation where he has a chance to chase a fourth career Stanley Cup. So great story unfolding there. Pat Maroon is coming off of back surgery. I think he still has about 2 to 3 weeks to go until he's ready to return. But the Wild have assured, you know, teams that were in the mix that this was not necessarily about return, but also about putting the player in a position where he has a chance to win. And with the medical stuff going on, that's also part of it. They're not trying to take advantage of anyone here. They realize that he's coming off of back surgery. And so that has been, you know, part of this discussion. So the Bruins have been all over that market of inexpensive players that have, you know, provided some interesting returns this season. James Van Riemsdyk has had a bit of a resurgence this year as he just hit game 1,000. Kevin Shattenkirk on their back end. So Boston adds the big rig to their lineup as kind of gives you flashbacks to the 2011 days, Colby, when you guys were part of that run to the Stanley Cup, a heavy team that really found a lot of success in the postseason. The big rig heading to Boston.
There you go. Pat Maroon going to the Boston Bruins. Thank you very much, Frank. Colby, you are a former Boston Bruin. Let's talk about this a little bit. This feels like kind of exactly where Boston had to be in the market. They pushed all their chips in last year. You look at their draft capital for this year. No first, no second, no third on cap friendly. Only fourth, fifth, and sixth rounders to move from. So assuming it's just a late round pick going the other way, do you like this fit for the Bruins?
Look, I like this fit for the Bruins because it costs you so little, and you get a guy who knows how to win. I think that's obvious. I think that's a guy who can fit right into the locker room as well. I know there's close connections to Kevin Shattenkirk. They were in Tampa Bay together. I think Patty Maroon's reputation speaks for himself amongst the players. And look, I'm going to be honest. I watch a lot of Boston Bruin hockey. I really do. They're a team that I probably watch more than any other team around the NHL. I keep pretty close tabs there. And here's what I could tell you. They've been rotating guys around their fourth line all season. Okay. They've had Lauko, Boqvist. They just recently signed Justin Braziel and called him up, and he's been good. He really has. Like, this was a guy who was on an American League deal, okay, who got signed during the season for his play and then called up, scores a goal his first game. But here's what I know about Don Sweeney, okay? He likes veteran players that he knows that he can trust. And look, they brought in Milan Lucic to start the season to fill a role like Pat Maroon will fill for them in the locker room and on that fourth line. That obviously did not work out. He will be away from the team for the rest of the season. So this seems to fit. It really does, especially with that rotation that's been going around the fourth line. I've got the Daily Faceoffs line chart up on my iPad right to the right. And, you know, you just kind of think that at some point he'll have an opportunity, Carter, to slide into that fourth line.
Yeah, no, I agree. And my instant reaction was Lucic, right? He was brought in to fill this role. And last night watching that Leafs-Bruins game, you know, the Bruins dominated them from start to finish, and the Leafs were on a cross-checking spree. McCabe taking liberties on Marchand, Domi going after guys, Bertuzzi fighting. I think Don Sweeney reflects on that game last night, and there's a good chance they're going to meet the Leafs in the first round, and Florida has depth too. Pat Maroon is not a guy you're going to go around just cross-checking. You're going to take liberties on their players. So I think that just adds a little bit of grit, a little bit of depth, and they know what they need headed into playoffs. They know it's going to be a battle in that Atlantic with Toronto and with Florida. You know, it's going to run through those two teams. So I think for them, this is a great add. And I know Patty Maroon personally. I played with him a little bit in the minors when I was in Adirondack with the Flyers team. He's a great guy, underrated skill. You know, he's obviously shown what he can do. His foot speed is always questionable at best, but you look at players like him, like Corey Perry, when it comes to the playoff, it's a different style of game. there's less space. It's tighter areas. He's great along the wall. He's great down low with his body, with his hands. So this is a great ad. I love it. And it didn't really cost him much for the Bruins here.
Our pal Johnny Lazarus texted me, and I see a bunch of people in the chat are making it. Patty Maroon and Jack Edwards going to have to play nice for the rest of the year here now that Maroon is a Boston Bruin.
That's a great call. I did not even think about that. I'm pretty sure Pat Maroon has already gone right up to him and confronted that situation. But I did not think about that extra little layer there. Good call by little brother Johnny Lazarus, who he knows dialed into to our coverage today.
150 career playoff games for Patrick Maroon. Frank mentioned all the rings he's already got, looking for another one with the Boston Bruins. I really do wonder if the Bruins will have the ability to do anything else today. Just taking a peek, like, they don't have a lot of projected cap space. As I already mentioned, they don't have a lot of draft picks. Let me just ask you guys a little deadline hypothetical. If the Bruins don't address their situation down the middle, like, again, last year they lose to Florida. That's with Krejci. That's with Patrice Bergeron. Carter, do you think it's a mistake for the Bruins to not be in the market for an upgrade at center?
I think it is, and I just like the fact this year it's a little more open-minded going in with Swayman and Allmark. I think last year they just held on to Allmark and Net a little too long when he was fighting it. So I think Montgomery has come out early and said, we're going to ride the hot hand. They're going to go back and forth. So I think that gives them a little more stability in Net. I don't love their depth, especially what Florida's already done adding Tarasenko, and they are a deep team that can grind you down in seven games, right? Florida's been playing playoff hockey since, I think, last year when Alex Lyon was on the hot streak. So this is a team that's going to cause a lot of trouble for the Boston Bruins. So it'll be interesting to see what they can add, but they don't have a lot of wiggle room. I know Allmark's been tied to getting moved. Obviously, if were to move Allmark, you could get a haul back in return. So I think it's going to be interesting how today plays out, because odds are right now, I like the Florida Panthers a lot, and I know the Boston Bruins have to be worried about that team, Cole.
Yeah, Allmark comes in at 49. Sorry, go ahead, Cole.
What about a name like Matt Grizzlick? I mean, I think it's been widely speculated for a couple of years that that's somebody that they've kind of discussed maybe moving on from. So I think about the fact that they re-signed Parker Watherspoon today to a new deal, which I know Frank reported earlier. This is a guy who has played really well for them. He's been solid. But, you know, you have Mason Lorai, who's come up, and he's been really good and really effective. He's a second-round pick out of Ohio State. He's actually been a better pro than he was a college player. And so I just wonder, maybe they look at a guy like Grizzlick and Jake DeBrusque, and maybe they use those two players to address some of those needs, because you're getting career year out of Charlie Coyle. I've just never seen him be this good at the NHL level, this consistent, this big, this strong. Seems to really have hit his stride in that center ice position. So you just kind of think, like Frank already mentioned, James Van Riemsdyk, another guy having a career type of season. So maybe they look at roster players, Tyler, and they use roster players in order to potentially fill some holes or make some upgrades. But at the end of the day, I'm with Carter on the fact that I don't think they have enough horses to go deep into the playoffs. That doesn't mean they can't win a round, because to me, they've got the best goaltending situation in all of the NHL. And I always say that's the most important position that you could have on your team.
Yeah. Boston loading up. So let's take everybody through a couple of the deals we've gotten so far just today. Obviously late last night was the Jake Guentzel deal. Earlier this morning, Evgeny Kuznetsov becomes the second, call it a big ad, for the Carolina Hurricanes. They get him at 50% retained from the Washington Capitals. Kuznetsov, obviously last Saturday, clearing waivers after coming out of the NHL Player Assistance Program. So the Hurricanes pick up a couple of, I'll call them, proven playoff performers in Guentzel and Kuznetsov. And then the next deal we got this morning was Tyler Toffoli going to the Winnipeg Jets, the fourth Canadian team of Tyler Toffoli's career. He goes from the New Jersey Devils, still awaiting the official return on Tyler Toffoli. And then just now, Pat Maroon heading from the Minnesota Wild to the Boston Bruins. Again, returns trickling in on a few of these deals, but Pat Maroon, number 20 on Frank Saravalli's trade targets board. So things are happening. We also got a signing. Jordan Eberle has re-upped in Seattle on a two-year deal with a $4.75 million cap hit. So Eberle's off the board in the top five. Would have been a proven playoff guy for a lot of teams who are looking for some depth up front. But the top five slowly dwindling down on Frank's trade targets list. Guys, I want to ask you about this range in numbers 6 through 10 on Frank's list. It's an interesting group that has a lot of players with term as well. We know Buchnevich is just on the inside of the top five, but Nick Dowd's got another year at $1.3 million. Frank Vetrano's got another year, and he is an absolute bargoon, as Frank would like to say, with that $3 million cap hit. Jacob Chychrun comes in at number 10 as well. He's got term. Colby, what do you make of a guy like Vetrano? We hear that, you know, maybe the Rangers are poking around on this guy. I honestly think it's a mistake for the Ducks to move him. I think a rebuilding team can get in trouble when they strip it down to the studs for too long. I think the Ducks have already reached that point where they stripped it down. They need to be building up.
I totally disagree with you, Tyler, and I'm going to give you a reason why, okay? Because Frank Vetrano is having a career season this year. I mean, above and beyond a career year. And you think about the fact that he's going to play again next season. He's going to continue to get the opportunity in the big minutes. Are you really going to be comfortable giving Frank Vetrano a 7 or 8 year deal for, let's call it, $7 or $8 million a year? Because his numbers are 30 goal numbers right now. They haven't been his whole career, but they are right now. So I think you sell when the market is high on a player like Vetrano. Is he a guy that's going to still be there in that same position, in that same role, in, let's say, 4 to 5 years, when they could potentially be contending at the end of their rebuild, or while their rebuild gets into their opportunity to be a really good team? So I think Pat Verbeek would be absolutely crazy to hang on to a guy like Vetrano, because I think this is the highest his market is ever going to be. And I think he's going to be a major overpay when you do eventually sign him. And Frank and I have discussed that on Daily Faceoff Live, Morning Cup of Hockey. So we've talked about this quite a bit. And I just think it would be a huge mistake, Carter, not to move a guy like Vetrano.
Yeah, I think times like that, when players are playing well, I know what you're talking about, right? Then all of a sudden you're forced to, you know, you're holding your hands to the fire here to, you know, sign him to a deal that he's worth. So for me, it's the fact of where they're at as a team and how they feel he is as a pro in the room, right? Because I've been on teams that are rebuilding, and I've been on teams that are going for it too. So having guys like that are hard to come by as well too, for these younger guys to emulate and be around and see how he carries himself, especially a guy who's played for different organizations. He's bounced around. He can score. He can find the back of the net, and that is something to hard to come by in the NHL. But I also feel it's that fine line where Verbeek has to make that decision, how he feels Vetrano fits into the core group of this guys as being a leader, as being a guy that these younger players can learn from. So for me, I agree with what you said, Ty. I'm kind of stuck in the middle here a little. I'm like Switzerland here on this island, where I get what you're saying. You don't want to strip it right down, but at the same time, you know, you got to sell when it's high. Where realistically, is Vetrano ever going to get any better than he's playing right now? And you'd have to think this is the peak for him, but it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I like where they're headed, and I like the step that they've taken in net with Dostal. He's been playing great as of late, and I think it makes Gibson a lot more expandable. It gives this team some stability moving forward, having a good goalie of the future.
You're doing great in your role as tiebreaker, Carter. That's awesome, man. You really helped settle that debate for us. Frank Vetrano sneaks in at number 9 on Frank Saravalli's trade targets board. Another name, like, we saw Kuznetsov go, obviously 50% retained, a guy who cleared waivers 6-7 days ago, whatever it was now. Ryan Johansson comes in at number 7. If you were a GM of a contending team, would you have any interest in doing what Carolina did with Kuznetsov and doing it for Johansson? If Philly goes, hey, we'll keep 50, get him down to 2 mil. At 2 mil, is Johansson palatable, or is this a guy whose best days are just so far behind him, Carter, that he can't help a contender?
Yeah, this one's touchy for me. I played with Joey, not my favorite teammate I ever played with. You know, just for me, it's just a perimeter guy. I don't think his game's going to translate to the playoffs. You know, he likes to play a soft game. He likes space. You know, he has good hands, and I just think his foot speed is hurting the style of game he wants to play. So for me, this is going to be a tricky ad for a team that is wanting to make a playoff run. And I don't believe, you know, I don't want to pass my previous experiences with him onto the next team. You know, people change and people grow. And I just don't think he's a veteran you want to bring into your room if you have a younger team like Philly, who's a little bit green and wants to learn from this playoff experience. So it'd have to be the perfect fit, I think, to add him. I just don't see him adding a ton of value come playoff time with his style of play at this point, Copes.
And you've got a guy like Danny Briere, okay? The ultimate playoff performer. The ultimate playoff performer, right? He says, we just got an opportunity to bring a guy into our lineup who could help us offensively right now, probably make the playoffs. And what do? They send him to the minors. They come out publicly and they say he's not part of the future. Now, granted, I'm sure John Tortorella had some input in that. They're even willing to eat, as Frank reported, 50% of their contract to then move him for a $2 million number. You think back to what Devon Taves said, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago when he said, we've got guys that are more worried about their points, okay, than they are playing the right way. And from what I understand from guys inside that Colorado Avalanche locker room, they were talking about Ryan Johansson. Okay, that was directed directly at him. So, Carter, I like the fact that you weren't quite Switzerland there. Maybe you were like Slovenia, right? A little bit above onto the border. But I think Carter Hutton, his experience is the one that a lot of players share with Ryan Johansson around the league. So will they move him today? They'll certainly try. Will Frank probably be the one to let us know that a little bit better? Absolutely. But ultimately, I don't think a team that, unless they get desperate and unless they miss out on a bunch of other things, he certainly wouldn't be the guy that I'm looking at unless the rest of that list, you know, just crashes and burns for a GM. So I think we're kind of saying the same thing here.
No, I agree. I think just the value that Philly can get from getting a little bit of playoff time is important too. So I think how they handle these this next few hours is going to be a message to these guys. And for me, I know Philly's not ready to win by any means, in my opinion, but playoff experience is hard to come by. And just these guys, if they can get in and they can find a way, for me, Philly needs to get a goalie to protect Earson, you know, moving forward down the stretch here. But I just don't think Ryan Johansson's the ticket at all.
Yeah, but I also think Philly would be crazy to add Carter. Like, I really do. Like, I agree with you because I, you know, I live here in Philly, so it's easy to watch the Flyers any night they're on, right on cable, right? And I think they'd be insane to add. I think it's they just called up Ronnie Attard from the American League. He's a pretty good prospect defensively for them. Had a really good career at Western Michigan, a place that Keith Jones knows well. He went there team president. I think they have high hopes for him on the back end. I think Cam York is getting more opportunity and experience. So they beat the Florida Panthers last night, and I think we've got something, Tyler. Cool.
Yeah, we got something here. Let's get to our Wendy's Insider Cam. I highly doubt Frank's hopping on to tell me Jake McCabe's been fined $5,000. Frank, what's the news?
That was certainly a topic of conversation this morning, though, after those two cross checks. So, it seemed like it was trending towards a fine for Jake McCabe, but, we do have a trade. Kyle Okpozo, captain of the Buffalo Sabres, is going to the Florida Panthers. Sources say the return is a conditional seventh round pick that can become a fifth if the Panthers win the cup, as well as prospect Kali Salyan. And when you look at Okpozo, who was just ahead of Pat Maroon at number 19 on our trade targets board, the Sabres were in a position very similarly where they wanted to get Okpozo after his leadership and what he's meant to that team over the last number of years to a destination where he'd have an opportunity to win a cup. How important is it to Kyle Okpozo? He has a bonus in his contract, $500,000 if the Panthers win the cup this year with him. So just something to keep in mind. He's a guy that hasn't really tasted the playoffs in a long time. I think since 2016, it's been 8 years. He was with the New York Islanders then, of course, because the Buffalo Sabres playoff drought had been there for a while. I'm sure Carter can speak to Kyle Okpozo better than I can, but certainly a guy really well respected in Buffalo. And so we're waiting on the return for a couple other things. Pat Maroon joked with me today that I said, what's going the other way? And he said, pucks and water bottles. So I'll get the official return, but I'm on the case.
Don't know if pucks and water bottles is allowable in the CBA, but thank you, Frank. And thank you, Patrick Maroon, for that. We'll send Frank back up to the insider cam. He mentioned Okpozo and just that lack of playoff games he's gotten in his career. 1,045 career regular season games, just 24 in the playoffs. So Okposo should get a chance to play some meaningful hockey this year with the Florida Panthers. Again, a seventh that can become a fifth. Okposo, a $2.5 million cap hit and a pending UFA. Frank, you want to pop back on?
Yeah, real quick. Everyone was talking about that Pat Maroon and Jack Edwards thing. They buried the hatchet a while ago. They did have a conversation, and I know Jack Edwards had apologized for what he said about Pat Maroon on the air, but if you'd like some more Pat Maroon comedy, he says that Jack Edwards owes him a pizza.
Ah, there you go. I love it. Love to know that it's water under the bridge, sharing a pizza. That's always a good way to bury the hatchet as well. Let's get back to our main panel. Carter, the veteran leadership of Kyle Okposo. Speak to that and what he'll bring to this Panthers team.
You know, it's hard to come by with Oki. I spent three seasons with him in Buffalo and became good friends. And this trade, you know, isn't surprising for me. Another guy that just adds depth to your fourth line, and you know what you're getting. He is a consummate pro. The way he carries himself, he's a family man. And for me, what's big here is his relationship with Sam Reinhart. They're like best buddies. They were best buddies in Buffalo. They spent a lot of time together. So I think Oki almost came. He was almost like a assistant to the GM when I was in Buffalo by the end of his career. Kevin Adams would have him in meetings. He would work both sides of it. He is a true pro, and I think this is a great ad for Florida Panthers and for the Buffalo Sabres, saying, here, Kyle, go take a chance. You know, this is your chance to try to win a Stanley Cup. And I honestly love this ad. He is a guy that's not going to rock the boat. He's going to go in there and do whatever he has to do. You know, I think of in St. Louis, like Alex Steen getting put to that fourth line that, you know, we talked about earlier. This is a guy that's going to go in and play any role he can do. And, you know, for the Florida Panthers, they just keep getting deeper and deeper here as they go.
Yeah, already added Tarasenko for a couple of mid-round picks. Now late-round picks turn into Kyle Okposo. We had heard some rumblings about them potentially being a spot Max Pacioretty wouldn't mind ending up. Kolb, I wonder if this maybe signals that, yeah, they got Tarasenko, they got Okposo, the depth is good. What do you think?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that right away, because just talking to some people that I know are close with Max and his family, I think Florida was always his preferred destination, and he gets to control that because of his contract status with his no move, no trade. And I'm also pretty sure Frank has reported that a couple of times over the last couple of days. So I would think the door is closed on Max Pacioretty going to Florida. Look, Zito is not a guy who sits on his hands. We know that. He's not afraid to get creative, pull the trigger. So, you know, never say never, but to me that maybe starts to point fingers towards Max Pacioretty potentially going to, you know, that hometown team of the New York Rangers. He's a Connecticut guy, went to New Canaan High School, you know, right up the 95 corridor there from New York City into Southern Connecticut. So maybe signs will start to point that way, but I like the move for Florida. I really do. You just can't have enough of these types of guys in the locker room. I mean, I even remember back to U.S. national team days of being kind of just in that aura of Kyle Okposo, and then seeing him, you know, at Minnesota and what he meant. It was Minnesota, right? I'm not blanking on the college there, if you remember at all, Carter. He was a little ahead of us in our NCAAs, but there was just always an aura about Kyle Okposo and what he kind of had around, you know, guys, younger players, USA Hockey, all that stuff. So I think it's a good ad. I don't think you can go wrong. And you know, you said it best, Carter. It's good to see a team do for a player. I don't think we see that often. And I think players are always asked to be loyal, but I don't think teams are ever asked to be loyal.
Frank, you got one.
Yeah, it's a small one, but I think actually an interesting one, because I've heard some chatter about him the last few days. The Anaheim Ducks are grabbing Ben Myers from the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for a 2024 fifth round pick. And you look at his numbers and you say, okay, he's only played 9 games so far this year with the Avs, but he was a really highly touted guy. Speaking of Minnesota, from the Golden Gophers, a undrafted free agent that, the Avs were able to win the sweepstakes on. Now, what's interesting is scouts have followed him pretty closely over the last few weeks, and certainly his time with the Colorado Eagles in the AHL. And they think that Ben Myers has actually found his way to being a bona fide pro player, bottom six contributing forward, that has figured out that when you're highly touted, not always easy to do, that you don't have to be scoring to be an impact guy. So I don't have any doubt in watching that trade go down that he's going to be a nice little staple for the Ducks, you know, the next number of years. Not incredibly young anymore at the age of 25, but still, I think an intriguing little addition today. A smart move by the Anaheim Ducks.
Ducks looking towards the future a little bit, turning a late round pick into a warm body. Thank you, Frank.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.